to the great doctrines of Scripture. We have been dealing with what Christ has accomplished on the cross, and we have just finished a series on the different judgments of God, of how God judges men. And we said at the beginning of that series on judgment that there's no such thing in the Bible as a general judgment. The Bible is very clear as to this. Likewise, we come today with this question of resurrection. There are many today who talk about a general resurrection. I think possibly they take it from such a passage as John chapter 5. Now, there are certain passages of Scripture where a general statement is made. It's when we take the whole revealed Scripture on a certain doctrine do we find what the truth is. For example, on the judgments, we find there were different times with periods between. For example, in the book of Revelation 20, you have the judgment of the wicked dead, which is at the end of the kingdom. Whereas the believers are rewarded at the coming of the Lord for his own. Whereas the nations are judged at the beginning of the kingdom, and the wicked dead at the end of the kingdom. Likewise, with resurrection, there are general statements, and then there are specific statements. For example, in John chapter 5, our Lord is speaking, and he has been declaring his authority. He has authority over life, over death, over resurrection, over judgment. Do you remember in John chapter 5, he speaks of this. Now in verse 27 and 28 and 29, I'd like to read these verses. The Father hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or of judgment. Now what the Lord is saying here, he's not giving us a time element on resurrection. What he is saying is that anybody who is going to be raised from the dead must be raised by him. He has the authority to raise the dead. Not only the believing dead, but the unsaved dead. One is raised unto life. The other is raised unto judgment. But in either case, they are raised at the voice of the Son of God. And by the way, when I say that, I think I ought to say this too. When our Lord was on earth, he raised three people from the dead. He raised a girl of about 12 years of age, the daughter of Jairus, and he raised her from the dead by just a word. He raised the son of the widow. You remember? The widow was taking the body of her son for burial, and the Lord stopped the funeral service and the procession, and he raised the boy from the dead. How? He just spoke the word. And then when you come to the book of John chapter 11, here's a man who's been 4 days in corruption. He's been dead, he's been buried, and he's been 4 days in the grave. And the Lord Jesus, you remember, raised him from the dead. By what? By his word. In other words, anybody who is going to be raised from the dead will have to be raised from the dead by the voice of the Son of God. And this is what he is saying here in John chapter 5. I have the authority. The Father has given me the authority to raise people from the dead. He's going to raise the believer from the dead and rapture him and transform him into an eternal body. This mortal will put on immortality. The corruptible shall put on incorruption. Also, he's going to raise the dead, the wicked dead, for judgment. You know, sometimes I've had people say to me, "Why, Mr. Mitchell, I don't believe in resurrection. When I'm dead, I'm dead." Yes, but my friend, I can tell you who's going to raise you from the dead. And whether you like it or not, the Savior whom you've spurned will speak the word, and you will be raised from the dead to stand before him and be judged and cast out into outer darkness. For the believer, he's going to raise the dead at his coming and transform them into immortal, incorruptible beings. The body is going to be made immortal. I'm just speaking now in a general way. When it comes to this question of resurrection, and I want it very, very clearly understood that when we speak of resurrection, we are speaking of physical resurrection. The Bible doesn't speak of any other kind of resurrection. For example, the scriptures teach a physical resurrection. In the book of Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, where Daniel says, "Those who are in the dust of the earth shall come forth." Those in the dust shall come forth. In the book of Acts chapter 24, when the apostle Paul is standing before the high priest and before the Sanhedrin, you remember, he makes this statement in verse 15, "And I have hope toward God, which they," that is the Jews themselves, "allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the righteous and the unrighteous, and herein do I exercise myself, because there is to be a resurrection. I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." In the 21st verse, I read where Paul says, "Touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question to you this day," concerning the resurrection from the dead. In chapter 23, he said, "I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." In chapter 25 of the book of Acts, when the apostle Paul stood before Festus, you remember, Festus says, he talks about one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed that he was alive. When you come to chapter 26, the apostle Paul said to King Agrippa, For which hope's sake, O King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" He keeps on going with respect to the resurrection from the dead. This was the great message of the early church. In fact, you take the book of Acts. Nearly 30 times he speaks of the resurrection from the dead. This is the great message of the early church, that this Jesus, whom you took by wicked hands and crucified, God hath raised up and given us assurance in that he raised him from the dead. In Corinthians chapter 15, "If Christ be not raised from the dead, we are yet in our sins, we are of all men most miserable," and so on. You take the book of Job, verse 25, what does it say? "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and his feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. And though worms destroy this body, I shall yet in my flesh see God by my side. And when I see him, behold, he is not a stranger." In Isaiah 26, "With their dead body shall they rise." What I'm trying to get to you is, and I'm dealing with one question, resurrection, physical resurrection, is taught in the scriptures. No other kind. It's the body that dies. It's the body that shall be raised. I remember one time speaking at a drawing room in a very large home in Minnesota, where a group of leading business people were there, and I was asked by my hostess if I would speak to them. And after we'd had dinner, there were about somewhere around 34, 36 of us there, she just said, "Would you mind speaking to us?" Well, we sat in a circle, and you know, it's rather a difficult thing to know where to start. You can't sing because you drive them away, and it's not a prayer meeting. These are, as far as I knew, unsaved people, good, moral people, but unsaved. They didn't accept the Savior. And my hostess, of course, wanted me to talk to them about the Lord. And at that time, we had a great multitude of Bible classes in this area in Portland. So I began to speak to them about our children's classes, because everybody loves children. And then I told them exactly what we taught the children. And I came to the question of our Lord suffering for us, bearing our sins, and dying, and then being raised from the dead. And when I said that, a noted surgeon who was in the room said, "Pardon me, Dr. Mitchell," he said, "but you talk as if you believed in the physical resurrection of Jesus." And I said, "Yes, I'm glad it's so clear." He said, "Of course it's not physical," he said, "it's spiritual. Of course it's spiritual. Couldn't be physical." And in about 2 seconds flat, nearly everybody in the room, not all, but nearly everybody in the room said, of course it's spiritual. It couldn't be physical. And before I could say a word, my host, a very charming man, the head of a large corporation, stood up, a man well over 6 feet tall, and he said to this doctor, "Dr. So-and-so," he said, "now you're a surgeon, and in your administration of with people, you perform operations. Do they sometimes die?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I'm sorry to say, sometimes they die." "Well, now," he said, "what dies?" "Well," he said, "the body dies." "Then if the body is that which dies, sir, what will be raised again?" There's no answer. The word resurrection doesn't mean anything except for that which died. And that which died was the body. The person left the body. For example, when a Christian leaves the world, he leaves his body. And he goes to be with the Lord. At the coming of the Lord, of course, the body is going to be raised. We'll be taking that up as we go further along. But I want to get to your heart today is the fact the Bible teaches physical resurrection. It knows no other kind. And the second thing I want to give to you is that the Jewish people believed and taught physical resurrection. For example, in John chapter 11, starting in verse 24 and so on, you remember the Lord Jesus said to Martha, when her brother Lazarus had died and had been buried, he said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Her answer was, "Oh yes, I know he'll be raised in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Do you believe that, Martha? Do you know what the Lord was saying? If your brother Lazarus can be raised at the last day, and I'm the one who has the power and authority to raise him from the dead, can't I raise him from the dead now? And you know, Martha dodged the issue. She said, I know he'll be raised, and went and got Mary, her sister. If anybody could understand Jesus, it was Mary. So she went and got her sister. Where'd she get her ground for that? Well, I would say she took it from possibly the book of Job chapter 19. It may be in the book of Psalms chapter 17, where David said in the verse 15, the last verse of the psalm, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." And you go on down through the various portions of Scripture. Daniel chapter 12. "They shall come forth out of the dust." Isaiah 26, "With their dead body shall they rise." "I know that my Redeemer liveth. His feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. And though worms destroy this body, I shall yet in my flesh see God by my side." And so on. In other words, the Scripture is very clear that it speaks of the resurrection from the dead. Now in the Old Testament, they believed in the resurrection would be at the last day. In Daniel, it's very clear when it would be. That would be at the end of the tribulation period. You have this, of course, in Revelation chapter 20. In Daniel chapter 12, you remember Daniel said that at that time shall Michael, who is the prince of thy people, shall stand up. There shall be a time of great tribulation. There never has been a time like it before. There never will be a time like it again. And at that time, those who are in the dust of the earth shall come forth, dealing there with resurrection. I want this clearly understood in giving this introduction to this question of resurrection. The Bible speaks of physical resurrection. Not only guaranteed to the Christian, not only guaranteed to the righteous, but resurrection guaranteed to the unsaved. One will be the resurrection unto life. The other will be the resurrection unto judgment. My friend, whether you like it or no, whether you live 20 years or 50 years or 100 years, you're going to die if the Lord tarries. Your body will go back to dust. And just as sure as God is on the throne, you're going to be raised again from the dead. And you're going to stand in the presence of God. And if you're a Christian, you will stand before God in all the beauty and all the righteousness and all the wonder of the Son of God. If you're not a Christian, you'll stand before God in your sins and be judged. But there's no question, resurrection. You know, there are people who have tried to dodge that. They say, when I'm dead, you burn my body up and take the ashes and scatter it on the ocean. So some people believe in burning up their bodies. Why do they do that? You go to India, different parts of the world where they believe in this. You say, well, it's a good thing to do. Why? Are you afraid of resurrection? For behind that whole thing, it may not be in your mind, but in many, many parts of the world where they believe in this, my friend, it's to try and dodge the judgment of God. For just as sure as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, just so sure will you be raised from the dead. Stand in his presence. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, I repeat it, you'll stand before him in all the beauty and righteousness of Christ. If you've spurned the Savior, you reject his precious grace, then you'll stand before God, and you'll stand there, and he will be your judge, the one you spurned. No wonder, I say, in Revelation chapter 6, they cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that cometh, that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. I repeat it, just as sure as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, everyone's going to be raised from the dead, either unto life or unto judgment. You know, I wonder sometime if that's why people would like to repudiate the doctrine of resurrection. Wonder why all hell spurns, rejects resurrection. If Satan can get people not to believe in physical resurrection, to say when we're dead, that's the end of it. My friend, the Bible teaches that you must stand before God, and you're going to stand before God in your body, and he will raise it from the dead, and you'll stand before him either in Christ, or you'll stand before God in your sins. I just trust that everyone listening to my voice today will accept the provision God has made in Jesus Christ. You'll take him as your own personal Savior and thus pass from death to life, out of sin into Christ.